question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Robert, Mary, and Rudy anytime on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at RM World Travel. Now, back to RM World Travel.
Okay, Mary and I are back and ready to check in on the Caribbean and the upside-down world we're living through as it's time for the next installment of the Chief Travel Leader Series. Before we welcome back Frank Comito, CEO of the Caribbean Hotel and Tourism Association, a quick word about our sponsor, the world's leading cruise lines.
So you heard us talking about the cruise industry last segment, and if you enjoy cruising and you hope to be able to cruise again at some point in the future, we definitely encourage you to stay connected with all the brands of Carnival Corporation at worldsleadingcruiselines.com.
You know, folks, there are regular announcements coming from all of their brands, which includes Seabourn, Holland America, Princess, Cunard, Carnival, P&O, AIDA, and Costa. And whether it's late 2020 or 2021 travels for you, or whatever you feel cruising might be right, check out worldleadingcruiselines.com. There are also individual brand links at rmworldtravel.com under sponsors.
Okay, so certainly a destination that we've heard from some of you that you're eager to return to again when you can travel without worry of the coronavirus are the various islands in the Caribbean. So waiting for us on that show hotline is Frank Comito. He's the CEO of the Caribbean Hotel and Tourism Association. We have invited him back for today's Chief Travel Leader episode.
Frank, it's nice to reconnect with you and have you back on the show with Mary and me for a Chief Travel Leader segment today. A lot has changed since you were on with us back in December. How are things overall in the Caribbean at this point? We're now 9 or 10 weeks into the world being turned upside down with the coronavirus. So what are you hearing?
Well, I mean, well, a lot has changed. By the way, thank you for being on. I always enjoy being
always nice to have you here.
But certainly a lot has changed, and it's forcing us to change as well. But one thing that hasn't changed, though, is the incredible beaches and beauty of the Caribbean. So Mother Nature has held up, and it's all there waiting for people to return.
Well, I'm sure. I know we can't wait to get back, and we've had some listeners writing into us over the past few weeks asking us about the Caribbean, which was what prompted to have you on today. So again, thank you. So when I think about the last decade, and we've talked about this a couple of times over the past few years on the show with you, the Caribbean has definitely had its share of adversity, but it always shows resiliency. It's had earthquakes, hurricanes, Zika, but it continues to come back with this sort of sustained ability. So Frank, how will Caribbean tourism begin to rebound post-pandemic?
Well, we fully anticipate it's going to be gradual. But what we're doing right now is, I mean, the important thing is we're not asleep at the wheel right now. We're aggressively involved, public and private sectors, working on implementing and defining health safety protocols at every aspect of the continuum of the traveler's experience, from the time they get on a plane and even before they get on a plane to the time they arrive, and their ground transportation and the hotel stay, and as they get out and about, we're working on putting in place health safety protocols, and it's been a very collaborative effort between the governments and the industry, and we're going to be doing things differently, and that's just the way it's going to be everywhere.
Sure.
But we're preparing for that, and we think we're in a good spot when people are ready to travel to be able to help ensure their health safety. I think that's going to be the predominant factor in travel decisions.
Well, that's good news.
And we're a short hop as well. So,
right.
I mean, we realize that domestic travel returned fairly first in the United States, and we're starting to see some indications of that. And then all the data says that experiential and luxury travel into short-haul distances via airlift, as people feel more comfortable and confident and with air travel, we'll follow right after that.
Well, I want to talk about something. I want to go in a little bit of a different direction with you. When we started the show, we were talking about the cruise industry, and certainly so many cruise companies operate in the Caribbean, as it's a popular way to visit, and then people come back for even longer stays. But what some of our listeners might not know, the Jones Act that dates back to the 1920s prohibits U.S. ship and passengers from traveling directly from one U.S. port to another U.S. port unless they meet certain specifications and has to do with the crew and the ship and all of that. That's part of why the Caribbean is such a frequent destination for cruises from, let's say, Florida, where I know you are, or other parts of the East Coast. It's not like Carnival or Holland America or some of the other operators out there can simply shift and say, now we're going to go to multiple U.S. ports. So they need the Caribbean because it's really a major part of their recipe for success. I want to know, is there a timetable, perhaps, when the Caribbean might be allowing cruise ships to dock again in their ports? And have any of the Caribbean local governments done anything maybe to support or aid many of the local businesses that depend on the cruise industry?
Yeah. We think as we look at all the data and we look at what's going on, we think the cruise travel into the Caribbean is going to take a little bit longer to be restored before, you know, we see other kinds of things. The first kinds of things we anticipate seeing in the coming weeks or months, is intra-Caribbean travel amongst our people.
Okay.
Because we've been able to very successfully, globally, we've contained this virus much more effectively than probably any other area in the world. Everybody talks about Vietnam and Singapore and other kinds of places, but the incidence of COVID in this region have been well contained, and most of the transmission has been direct or imported rather than community transmission. And there's a number of reasons why that's happened. But with that, we anticipate intra-Caribbean travel, and then followed shortly thereafter by short-haul travel from our major feeder markets in the United States, UK, and parts of Europe and Canada. That all should occur. We anticipate, of course, nobody knows what else might happen with this virus, but assuming it's reasonably under control, we anticipate that should start occurring in June in the region as more regions step up,
okay,
as the airlift returns, as travel advisories are adjusted. It's one of our concerns as well, is that we've done a great job containing the virus in the Caribbean for the most part, but we really don't want to be lumped as many other destinations in the Caribbean where travel advisories will be at a level 4 or whatever. We feel we can easily make a case that it's good to travel to the Caribbean. And actually, it's good for the U.S. economy in particular for travel to the Caribbean to start to open, because the net trade benefit to the United States from imports, exports, and all kinds of things that occur because we're spending more and we're consuming more with travelers in the Caribbean. The U.S. economy is a big beneficiary for that.
Well,
now,
absolutely.
On the other side, yeah, it's going to take longer.
Frank,
it's
so
take longer.
To go back, I would agree with you on that 100%. To go back to something that you touched on a little earlier in terms of it will look a little different for a while. Certainly, it will look different in the world for all of us, even when we start resuming our travels. With all the operations you're associated with in the Caribbean, for anyone listening who's traveled to a favorite island or enjoyed multiple islands in the past, what do you envision a future trip to the Caribbean will look like initially? I mean, clearly there will be, I kind of look at the Caribbean as sort of a benefit in terms of so much of it, the activities are outdoors. I think you've definitely got some benefits there. But how do you find that balance between hospitality and safety?
The most important thing to us is the confidence of not only the traveler, but our local people, that their health is as risk-free as possible, low risk. Kind of, I mean, we can't make any commitment to eliminating risk, but as low risk as possible. And to do that, we are looking seriously at protocols right now. The governments of the Caribbean, with industry, ourselves, we've had numerous meetings over the past couple of weeks to identify the kinds of protocols. We want to come up with some uniform core protocols for travel and for people, you know, within the industry for the entire Caribbean.
Well, that makes sense. Makes sense.
And with that, and because we've been able to successfully contain rampant spread of the virus because of those kinds of health safety protocols that we've had. We cut down our borders fairly early for the most part.
There
were different for the most part. We didn't allow cruise ships in earlier on. We took some criticism for that.
Right.
But it protected our environments. We're islands, so we're able to protect the infection rate. So,
Frank, let me ask you something real quick.
That'll be important going forward.
Okay, 45 seconds. Just real quick. You know, we don't have time to get into how the resorts and all that have handled cancellation and rebookings, but I do want to know, are you seeing a measurable demand for new bookings either for mid to late 2020 or now even into 2021?
Yeah, we're actually seeing some demand for booking into July and August. So we're not seeing high demand. I don't want to fool people on that, but we are seeing interest and demand and a desire. So, but the thing that we have to do is make sure that we've got our health safety protocols well in play, and in a variety of ways.
Okay.
It may mean that for a period of time, in order to travel to the Caribbean, you have to have within a period of time a negative, COVID
test.
And that's not different than what we've done before. Remember, in 2001, right after 9/11, we required passports, U.S. passports, to come in.
Yeah, there are a lot of protocols that are going to be coming. Frank, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there for today. We always enjoy these conversations with you. We're going to be sure to check back with you soon. Our best to you, your family. Stay safe, and we're going to look forward to having you back soon, okay?
Thank you much.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, that was encouraging. I mean, we'll see.
Really, yes.
As you said, people aren't running back, which we understand, but at the same point, they're seeing bookings, so we'll keep all of you updated on the Caribbean going forward. Right now, though, we're going to pause for a quick break. Please connect with us through all of our social media channels. You can do that on our website, rmworldtravel.com. There's still a lot of the program ahead today, so we hope to stay right where you are, and we'll be right back in mere moments.
Today's edition of RM World Travel is coming right back, and you can also stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.